You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
Is it well with your soul today? Even if whatever hardship comes along. I always think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when I think of that song, because they're the ones who say, you know what? God can save us from the fire, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to you. And I don't know that that's the basis that they've come up with that song. I know that there's been some hardships in the people within the band that have come up with that song. And it's kind of like, you know, it's great to praise God when things are good. But boy, when life is on the line or when hardships come, it's one thing when, you know, COVID is at somebody else's house, but when it comes to live at your house, then it's different. Or cancer is somewhere else, but then it comes to your house, it's different. Or heart stuff or whatever it is. Some of you, a couple weeks ago, when Pastor Gerber was doing his series on Malachi, he said, you know what, we're going to put some of these test me cards out here, and we're going to encourage people to tithe. But he said, now just know that when you trust God for that tithe, that Satan's probably going to come along and test you in this, and something's going to go wrong in your house. I don't know how many of you told us, oh, a washer went out, some other thing happened, you know, whatever, right? Yeah, some different kinds of things all of a sudden happen. And God is saying, are you really going to trust, even if we got padded pews, air conditioning heats on, it's pretty comfortable in here. Well, today we're looking at John 12 and 13, and I want to think a little bit about Jesus, that last week of life. He's just washed his disciples' feet, especially in the John 13. So he's washed Judas's feet, and yet he knows that Judas is going to betray him. Remember I said at the beginning of the service, 84 times in the Gospel of John, John, this eyewitness to Jesus' life, uses the word for, come and see. You got to come closer. I got to show you this. It's too good to be true. This is the guy you got to know. So now here's a trivia question. The first verse I read from John chapter 12 today, there were some people that came to see Jesus, but it's only mentioned in that one line. Anybody remember who those guys were? The Greeks. Good job. They were the Greeks? Why would they come to see Jesus? They're the outsiders. They're not pure. Again, part of the Gospel of John is taking all of the scriptures and compressing them down into the one who became flesh. So, we start out in John 1 saying, he created everything. So let's look at the big picture. When God chose the people of Israel, he said, I want you to be pure. You have to be pure in your marriage. Do not intermarry with any other people. Don't take their gods. In fact, when they came into other places, oftentimes they would kill all the women, the children, the animals, everything, because God says, if you're going to be holy like me, I, the Lord your God, am holy, you have to be holy. You have to be pure. So what was lived out physically among them, God is now saying, the only way that that's going to happen is if I make you pure. Right? That's why Jesus comes. So when we see the Jews who have rejected Jesus, remember, we've had that in each of our texts. He comes as the light in the darkness, but the darkness doesn't get it. The Pharisees don't get it. They keep railing on Jesus. They're trying to kill Jesus. They're making fun of Jesus. They're mocking him. They're saying he's not the one. They're going on and on and on. And Jesus is saying, while you have the light, you must walk with the light. You got to believe now. Now's the time. So we see Jesus going along that way, and he's encouraging his people, but his heart is troubled because he knows what's going to happen. The other two words that I would have you look for in any of John's texts, especially if you're looking at a New International Version Bible or an English Standard Version Bible, two words, and those are the words, so that, because that's always purpose, right? It's always purpose. So Jesus says, I'm telling you ahead of time so that when it happens, you will believe that I am who I am. So that. In the chapters right before this, Jesus has told them three times, I'm going to have to die and be resurrected. And I'm telling you this ahead of time so that when it happens, you'll know. And we know the disciples don't get it right away. Neither would we have. But after he's resurrected, after he shows himself to them, then they start to piece it all together. Their minds have been given greater understanding, but they're able better to understand what Jesus is saying, even though they're still kind of doubting like we would. So that, anytime you read any of God's word, when you see so that, or when you see the word, if you, maybe you're reading a King James or a New King James, if you see the word therefore, the old adage is if when you read the word therefore, there's always a reason. It's therefore. It's purpose. It's telling you something. And so it's saying, stop, look, wait, this is important. So Jesus is saying, I'm telling you this ahead of time so that when it happens, I'm telling you somebody is going to betray me. You guys have been with me. I don't know how you can do it. But darkness is in this world. Do you believe darkness is in this world? Let's switch gears totally here. Let me ask you, what is something you hate? Now, for most of you, that shouldn't take you real long to figure out a thing that you hate. What's that, Big Ten? All right. Political ads. All right. Anybody, what's something you hate? What? Pudding? Oh, man, I've been living on that stuff lately. Are you kidding? Woo! Peanut butter? You hate peanut butter? Well, then that's a good reason I hate it, right? You're allergic to it. That would be a reason. Sloan, yes. Spinach. Well, I'm with you, kid, especially if it's cooked. I like it raw. I like it on a salad. I hate cats. I hate cats. I hate cats. And, I grew up on a farm, dairy farm, and so we're mixing the stuff to, milk replacer to give to the calves. And as we're carrying those 5-gallon pails to feed to the calves, I'm tripping over the 30 cats that are in, they're barn cats, they're not house cats, okay? We never had a house cat. And as a middle schooler and teenager, we'd love to see how far those stupid cats could fly, And I still love to do that, I hate cats, but you know what? If I come to your house and you have a cat, I can guarantee you that that cat will come and sit on my lap and it'll purr and I can pet it. And that's okay. It's not my cat. It's okay. But before I leave, I can guarantee you that cat's going to dig its claws into my leg. It just happens all the time. They just know that I can't stand them. So now that I've told you that, because I hate cats, how many of you hate me? See, isn't that the way? You put a Biden sign in your lawn and I put a Trump sign in my lawn and all of a sudden we don't talk, right? Or somebody likes pudding and somebody doesn't. Or I'm going to feed Sloan some spinach and she's going to say, no, don't do that. See, I told you she'd say that. We today, we make all kinds of decisions based on surface stuff. I included Romans 13 today, not only because of Tuesday. What's going to happen on Tuesday and Wednesday? There's going to be riots everywhere. That's what's going to happen on Tuesday and Wednesday, okay? Because the deeds of darkness are all over the place. And Romans 13 says we should submit to the authorities. And John 12 and 13 has Jesus submitting to the authority of the Father saying, yes, this is the reason I came. And you know those Gentiles out there, those outsiders out there, those people that I don't like, those people that aren't pure, I came to die for them. Because in John 10, he says, I have other sheep, not of this sheepfold. I've come to the Jews. The Jews haven't listened, so I'm going to the Gentiles. It's the same thing that Peter and Paul do. They go to the Jews first. The Jews don't listen, and then the Gentiles are brought in. So that's when Jesus said, now's the time. Now I can be glorified because the whole plan of God is done. The people of the Jewish nation have heard. They've had their chance. The people of the Gentile race have heard. They're coming to see. Now John 3:16 is true. For he gave his one and only son for whom? For the world, not just for the Jews, not just for the pure. He gave his life for the impure, for the unreachables, for the enemies, Romans 5 would say, to draw us close. Now, Tuesday's going to come and go, and we all have our preferences of who would win, and we'll all be glad when the political ads are over. And I think how much money was raised on political ads and spent on political ads that we have homeless and we have food and we have all these other things that could have been, you know, you never hear about, you hear if it's tax money going somewhere else, but you don't hear about a political ad money could have gone somewhere else, right? Our system is so broken, but our system is still better than almost every other system. There's corruption on every level, just like there is in every government, because every government is run by whom? People. We read this earlier, Psalm 146. Do not put your trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. And on that very day, their plans come to nothing. Back in 1860, Abraham Lincoln is running for office. And as he's running for office, somewhere in the Northwest, somewhere in Northeast, he's doing some a campaign swing of some sort, I suppose, going past. Some guy yells out from the crowd saying, the Lord God Almighty and Abraham Lincoln are going to save the country. And Abraham Lincoln's immediate response was, you're half right. Think about that for a moment. Okay, think about that for a moment. The Lord God Almighty and Abraham Lincoln are going to save the country. And Abraham Lincoln's response was, you're half right. What he's saying is, it ain't me. Now, we've got political people on both sides it always happens that they seem like they're the Savior, right? The Psalms, all of these things, Romans 13, talk about all authority is ordained by God. He knows what's going to happen. If you looked at the trunk line on Wednesday, my byline for this week was, in a fear-filled world, there is no fear in heaven. Because God knows what's going to happen. God has used pagan governments in the past, and he will continue to use our government for his good. And no matter who wins, we have the opportunity to be the children of light in a dark place, because that's who Jesus invites us to be. He doesn't invite us to be people of fear. He invites us to be people of life. So God has come to give us more than what we could ever give out on our own. And I certainly have my preference on Tuesday, as you will. And we may or may not know for a while. And you know what? In the end, this week, one of the things I want to encourage you to do, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for the leadership, no matter who wins. I want you to pray for our military, for our policemen, for our first responders, for the business owners who have boarded up their places ahead of time. Who has heard of this in American politics? Okay, welcome to the darkness, friends. Scripture tells us that it's going to continue to get darker and darker. We shouldn't be surprised by this, because it's what happens right before the flood. What does God do? Oh, you guys are bad. Sorry, I'm going to flood the world. You're done. Right? And then the people of Israel, they follow God for a while, and then it's like, okay, well, I'm going to send the king of Assyria over here. He's going to take you over because you're not following me anymore. Well, then the king of Babylon comes and he takes over. Well, then you have Herod's. They come take over. Jesus and Paul, I've told you this before. They're both under occupied governments. They never complain against the government. At least not in the scriptures. You don't see it. I'm sure they didn't agree with everything, but you don't hear them complaining about it. They live under it, and they live as light under it. That's what we must do. Leave no debt undone except the debt of continuing love, so that we would love people who don't love us back. Are there people who don't love you back? Boy, all you got to do is look at some of the political stuff and that's going on. People beating each other up, right? Jesus washes Judas's feet. And as he washes Judas's feet, he knows what's going to happen. I'm telling you this ahead of time, so that when it happens, you're going to know, I'm going to die for his sins too. Because I've come to pay for the sins of the whole world. Something you couldn't do, something you wouldn't do, but I will do. And now we can say it's something he has done. In fact, the wording in the scriptures today was that now I'm going to be glorified, and now the prince of darkness is driven out. Present tense. So as Jesus is saying that, lifted up on the cross, now the prince of darkness, we're still living with darkness in this world, but he doesn't win. Now the prince of darkness is driven out. And so as we look at this week, as we look at any week, I want us to remember the quote that Abraham Lincoln, that part of his quote that said, "You're half right, because we will not be saved by any man," because all of us typically suck at something. And God is going to be in charge no matter what. And we may like it and we may not like it, but God's going to be in charge no matter what. And our salvation is only dependent on Him. And He has already won that. So there is no reason for us to fear. None. We live as children of light in a dark world, so that when the room is totally dark and our match is lit, there's hope. You and I are to bring hope to this world. And it's the hope of Jesus as the Savior of a broken and dark world. Because He's the light. Shine the light. Next week, we're going to look at John 19, and the following week at John 17. And I would invite you, if you get a chance, if you get a block of time, read the whole Gospel of John from beginning to end. Because what you're doing is you're reading one of the only eyewitness accounts to His life and His death, His resurrection and after. Read the whole Gospel of John and just take it in as come and see who this guy really is, who this guy really was, what he really did. Come and see. May God bless us to that end. Amen.